Okay, we should be on page 506 in your Bible, 145th Psalm, verses 1 through 14. 145th Psalm, verses 1 through 14. I know you wonder, are we ever going to get out of this psalm, and are we ever going to get out of Psalm 119? The answer is yes and no. Apparently, Psalm 119 never ends. This soon will, though. 145th Psalm, beginning in verse 1, we're going to read through verse 14, page 506. Let's read together. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall laud your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. The might of your awesome deeds shall be proclaimed, and I will declare your greatness. They shall celebrate the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his compassion is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your faithful shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to all people your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and gracious in all his deeds. The Lord upholds all who are fallen and raises up all who are bowed down. Thank you so much. God bless you, and God bless the word of God to us today. Late last week, a friend in her early 60s sent an urgent prayer request to Sherry, and I wanted to share it with you this morning. So I'm reading it. Well, I'm at the emergency room. It's not a good day. I decided to try horseback riding to relax. It turned out to be a huge mistake. I got on the horse and started out slowly, but then we went a little faster. Before I knew it, we were going as fast as the horse could go. The horse made a sudden jerk and reared up, and I couldn't hold on. I fell off, but my foot got caught in the stirrup. The horse kept bucking and running and was dragging me and wouldn't stop. Thank goodness the manager of the grocery store came out and unplugged the machine. But then he had the nerve to take the rest of my quarters so I wouldn't attempt to drive the Batmobile, and he told me to stay away from the handicap carts. You know, it's a funny story, but sometimes the pain we go through in life is very real. The heartache that we feel is overwhelming. The stress and the anxiety seems to paralyze us. We run out of strength. We run out of patience. We run out of hope. We run out of tears. We run out of resources. Yet in the midst of our pain and our fears and our troubles and our tears, God tells us that He will uphold us. So the question is, how does God uphold the fallen? And how does He lift up those who are bowed down? The psalmist says, the Lord upholds all who are falling and lifts up all who are bowed down. I believe one of the ways that God upholds us is by His promises. I know we've touched upon this before, and I'm not going to spend much time on it this morning. But no matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you feel, no matter what you're facing, you are never too far for the promises of God to be fulfilled in your life. No matter what may seem to be happening right now, you can stand upon the promises of God. One of the hymns that's, I believe, in our hymnal says, standing on the promises that cannot fail. the promises of God that cannot fail. The psalmist put it this way in Psalm 30, beginning in verse 1. I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, you his faithful people. Praise his holy name. And here's the passage that we often remember. For his anger lasts only a moment. His favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Psalm 34, verse 19. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Psalm 50, verse 15. Call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will honor me. Psalm 91, verse 11. He will give his angels charge concerning you to bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Psalm 138, verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve me against the wrath of my enemies. You stretch out your hand, and your right hand delivers me. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and save me for his heavenly kingdom. You have promises from the Word of God in which God says, I will sustain you. I will help you. I will be with you. I will undergird you. I will protect you. I will take care of you. Those promises are there. I drive a lot. In my work, I'm on the road quite a bit. I have an office that has four wheels on it. And there are certain intersections in Tallahassee that you just know that when you're at that intersection, something that the potential for something bad happening is right there. And one of them is at the intersection of Buck Lake Road and Mahan Drive. Because there are three lanes there making left-hand turns. And sometimes the person in the middle lane feels like, I need a lot of room. So I need to just swing my car out into the other lane and then bring it back into my lane because, after all, I'm in the middle lane. And so I've learned whenever I'm sitting in that right lane to put both hands on the wheel and to watch the person right beside me. Because every week, at least one time a week, I have somebody at that intersection who decides that this little white lane dot between us doesn't mean anything. That just means come on over. But I'm reminded that God gives me promises. Every morning before Sherry and I leave our home, we pray and we call out the promises of God. Father, you've said that you would be with us, that you'd never leave us, you'd never forsake us. We don't know what this day holds, but you do. But we recognize that no matter what happens to us today, it must first come through the blood of your Son Jesus to get to us. We stand on the promises of God. We call out the promises of God over our children and over our grandchildren. We declare, even though our grandchildren are young, we declare and we pray, Lord, we know that you have somebody for our grandchildren to marry. We lift them up to you right now. Keep your hand upon them. Keep them safe. You stand on the promises of God. You believe that God has given me promises, and those promises that he tells me, that even though I walk in the midst of trouble, he's going to be with me. Not that he's going to keep me from trouble. In fact, it says in Isaiah, when you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned. When you go through the rivers, you will not drown. You're going through it. We're going through it. But the good thing is we're going through. And God has said, I'm going to be with you when you're in the going through times of your lives. He upholds me by his promises. He upholds me by his presence. He said he would never leave me. He would never forsake me. Psalm 18, verse 35, you have given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand has supported me. Your help has made me great. You gave me a wide place for my steps under me, and my feet did not slip. Psalm 23, verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I love even the next verse. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. Matthew 28, verse 20, Jesus said this. The last verse of Matthew 28, lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 10, Paul writes and says, we are afflicted in every way, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in our bodies the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be even more visible in our bodies. The writer of Hebrews said this in the 13th chapter, the 6th verse. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Every one of us here this morning, we could give testimony of a difficult time that we walked through. It may have been the death of a spouse, death of a child or a grandchild. It may have been a divorce. It may have been betrayal. It may have been being laid off, going through a bankruptcy. It may be a health issue that you're struggling with right now, a situation in your home that you're struggling with right now. I understand, I know, that a lot of times when we do uplifted, unspoken requests and those hands go up all over this congregation, I understand that sometimes that hand is for the person who's raising it up. It's not about the world, it's not about the nation, it's not about something far away, it's about me. It's true, that song that says, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. But I want to tell you something today that I believe not only because the Word of God says so, but I believe because I have seen it in my own life. God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. God will never turn His back on you. God will never say, you made your bed, now you can lay in it. God will never say, I'm through with you. I've had enough. I've run out of patience. I'm tired of you. You never learn. That is not the God that we serve. We serve a God who made a covenant with us in which He said, I will never leave you. You may leave. You may walk out the door. You may turn your back. But God says, I'll never leave you. His presence is always with us. But God not only upholds me by His promises, He not only upholds me and lifts me up by His presence, but He also upholds me by His people. His people, the body of Christ, the family of God. The writer of Ecclesiastes said this in the 4th chapter, the 9th verse, two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But now listen to what Solomon said. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help. We all know the story of the Good Samaritan, the man who was traveling and came into an area in which a band of robbers came upon him. They beat him. They robbed him. They threw him in a ditch. Jesus tells the story that morning of how a priest came by and he saw the man in the ditch, but he hurried on his way. A teacher of the law came by, saw the man laying in the ditch, went on his way. A scribe came by, saw the man lying in the ditch, went on his way. But a prodigal came by. A Gentile came by. A man that wasn't accepted by the religious people came by, saw the man in the ditch, crawled in the ditch where he was at, ministered to him, got him out of the ditch, took him into town, took him to a hotel, took him there, stayed up with him all night, and then that morning when he had to leave to go on his journey, told the hotel keeper, he said, I'm going to give you money to take care of him, and when I come back through, if I owe you more money, let me know, I'm covering the bill. The truth is, all of us have been one of the characters in that story. Maybe you were the one that found yourself in the ditch. Or maybe you were the one that saw that person and said, boy, I tell you what, I just don't want to deal with that. Boy, the Bible says you reap what you sow, and now they're... But we've also been the person that has gone down into the ditch and said, what can I do to help? I was at a banker's meeting this past week. I'd been asked to go to a meeting. There were going to be about 30 bankers there, and I was asked to come and talk to them about the product that I represent the bank with. And we're all seated there, and the lady who is managing this group of bankers is introducing me, and she is finished, and she's stepping away, and she takes a step backwards. And I don't know if she tripped on her cuff of her slacks or tripped on her shoe, but she took a step back, and then she just went, boom, flat on her back. And two thoughts went through my mind. One was, what do you do? And the second thought, what right behind it was, get up, you got to do something. And it reminded me of when we trip and stumble in life. Probably none of us saw it coming. None of us maybe saw the warning signs. None of us thought it would happen to me, or it would happen to her, or it would happen to him, but it happened. And then we're left with the shock and the awe of, wow, look what just happened. Somebody needs to do something. Somebody needs to get up and help her. Somebody needs to assist her. And then you realize nobody's moving. So then it comes down to, I need to do something. And so I jumped up from my seat and I ran over and kind of helped her up. And she's saying, I'm okay, I tripped. It's like, Yeah, that part we know. Can you get up? I was very kind. I said, because you're taking up my time that I need to talk. No, I didn't say that. I didn't even think it. Has anybody in your life ever stumbled? Has anybody in your life ever let you down? Has anybody in your life did something that you weren't expecting? Have you ever been shocked by what someone did or what somebody told you they did? What do we do? Well, we have several choices. We can analyze why they stumbled. We can discuss it among ourselves. We can come up to a conclusion. This is why it happened. We can say, oh man, I'm glad that wasn't me. We can say, this is something we need to pray about. Or we can be God's hands, God's feet, God's eyes, God's ears, and do something. Romans 15, verse 1. We who are strong ought to bear with the fallings of the weak and not please ourselves. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. And now listen to this next part. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always, and listen to this part, always keep on praying for God's people. The natural response when somebody does something you weren't expecting, somebody does something that you don't like, somebody does something that just seems totally out of character, boom, I'm going to let them have it. But God's people look in the mirror and say, I've had failings in my own life. I've let people down in my own life. I've messed up in my own life. Who am I to sit in judgment upon you? I'm going to get down there right where you are. And together, we're going to walk through this. I know what it is like to disappoint people and to sit in a restaurant and see somebody right over there that you know and that knows you and have them sit there and you think, do I go to them and apologize? Do they come to me? What do we do? And see them get up and walk right by you and not ever acknowledge you. That's not the body of Christ. That's the flesh in us. That's the part of us that says, you've ticked me off. You disappointed me. You've angered me. And so now I'm going to let you know how I feel. Let me tell you how to let me know how you feel. And that is, get down there where we are. That's how we let people know how we feel. Because you know what? They're already telling themselves, oh, I know how Lillian feels about this. I know how Ron feels about this. I know how Joe feels about it. But when Lillian and Ron and Joe come, get up, Ken. When Lillian and Ron and Joe come and they put their arm around you and say, I love you and I'm with you. I've made mistakes in my life too, and you can count on me. So here's my phone number. And I want you to call me. Because if I don't hear from you in a week, I'm going to call you. That's what the body of Christ does. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Ken. The body of Christ is different than the world. We have a different mindset. We have different concepts. We don't respond the way the world acts. We respond and say, you hurt me, and I know I'm taking a chance that you may hurt me again, but you are worth the risk. You're worth the risk. In 1974, a company was formed with the purpose of providing assistance to senior citizens who were in distress. For 15 years, this company was virtually unheard of. But they decided to do a mass marketing on television. And they met with a lady that they were going to let this person be the spokesperson. And they met with her, and they're going over the commercial with her, what they want, how it's going to look. And they're trying to come up with a phrase. And this is the phrase they came up with. I've fallen, and I can't get up. Soon everyone knew Mrs. Fletcher, who fell in the kitchen and in the bathroom, and the company that she represented called Life Call. The phrase was so popular that in 1992, Life Call obtained a trademark patent for the phrase. And the phrase was so popular that in 1999, when it expired, another company called Life Alert coined a very similar phrase. Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. I don't ever bring my phone to church. I just don't think I'm all that important. But I brought it today because I wanted to share an email that went back and forth this week between myself and Betty Johnston. I've seen Tony this week 4 times. 2 days ago, I emailed her. Good afternoon. Is Tony at specialty yet, and how is he doing? She replied, good afternoon. Tony's still at Capital Regional Medical Center, but I just got a call that they're transporting him to Select when an EMS is available. He is terrible, miserable, and just wants to give up. They had him on a ventilator at one point. His CO2 is off the charts, which is causing him to be disoriented. Need all the prayers in the world. My reply, sorry to hear this. I will stop by Select tomorrow, but call me if you need me before then. Here's her reply, and this is what I want you to hear. Thank you, I will. Honestly, Rodney, I don't know what people do that don't know Jesus when faced with these kind of circumstances. My God is an awesome God and hasn't failed me yet. The Lord upholds those who are falling and lifts up those who are bowed down. I replied. I didn't reply to her statement. I just replied and said, I'll see you tomorrow. Call me if you need me. But the answer is this. What do people do that don't have the promises of God? What do people do that don't know deep down in their heart, regardless of what they're going through, that God's with me? What do people do that don't have the body of Christ to love them, to call them, to visit them, to send them a card, to get down on their knees and pray for them? What do they do? That's a good question for us to ponder as we leave this morning. What do people do who don't have Jesus? And I'd like to follow it up with another question. What should we do who do have Jesus? Because the psalmist says, the Lord upholds those who are falling. And he lifts up those who are bowed down. You and I live in a world that is without Jesus. And you and I have the opportunity to say and to live out in front of them and with them that I believe in the promises of God. And I believe in the presence of God. And I believe in the people of God. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for who you are, for all you've done, for all you do. And I thank you, Lord, that you are with us, that your promises in Christ are yes, and in him they are amen. That even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we do so, Father, without fear, because we can say, the Lord is with me. And Lord, we also can recognize that we have people. We have family. We have brothers. We have sisters who love us, who care for us, who pray for us, who walk with us. Father, give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Give us a heart for people. Lord, help us to get our eyes off of our problems and our situation and our needs and what we would like and what we need, and to get our eyes, Father, back on the hurting, the weak, the downtrodden, the fallen. Use us, Lord. In the name of your Son, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Stand together with me.